I am Michael Whatley. I'm Executive Vice President with Consumer Energy Alliance, and want to talk to you within the context of the overall high gas, diesel, and jet fuel prices that we are experiencing today and are projected to go substantially higher, and discuss a project proposal for a low-carbon fuel standard that is being pushed by a group called Northeast States for Coordinated Air Use Management, or NESCOM, which is working on an initiative to reduce the carbon intensity of transportation fuels, and then to roll out a study that we are releasing today on the feasibility and the societal costs for trying to implement a regional low-carbon fuel standard. First off, as everybody is well aware, we had record high gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel prices as a national average last year in 2011. Gasoline prices averaged $3.53 per gallon, which ended up costing American homeowners and drivers about $4,115 per month. That obviously in 2008 we had higher individual day or weekly spikes, but in terms of a national average, that was the highest ever. It is projected by the Department of Energy and other experts that we're going to see an increase of at least 10 to 20% over last year's average here in 2012. And indeed, we have had record high averages for January, February, and now March. So we do not expect that we're going to be seeing any relief from the pain at the pump. These gasoline prices are particularly acute in the Northeast, and with the announcement of several announced and potential refinery closures in the Northeast, we're expecting that the region is going to be hit particularly hard with increased gas, diesel, and jet fuel prices throughout the course of 2012. And I give all of that as a background to discuss the low-carbon fuel standard initiative that has been led by NESCOM. As many of you folks we've talked about before may know, since 2009, 11 different Northeast Mid-Atlantic states have been working with NESCOM to develop a regional low-carbon fuel standard proposal. The low-carbon fuel standard is essentially a cap-and-trade program for transportation fuels that is designed to reduce the carbon intensity of a transportation fuel pool by switching out high-intensity fuels, high-carbon-intensity fuels such as gasoline and diesel, and replacing them with low-carbon-intensity fuels such as cellulosic ethanol, biodiesel, electricity, or natural gas. The model of the LCFS that is being pushed in the Northeast is based on California's LCFS, which was adopted as part of their overall climate change bill, AB 32, and those regulations were put on the books in 2010. And actually, Consumer Energy Alliance, along with the American Trucking Associations and the American Fuel and Petrochemical Manufacturers, filed the lawsuit, which has gotten those California regs ruled unconstitutional by a federal district court judge in California. As part of the process for trying to develop a 10% carbon reduction over 10-year program, NESCOM has held a series of public meetings over the last couple of years, and then last August released a report entitled Economic Analysis of a Program to Promote Clean Transportation Fuels in the Northeast Mid-Atlantic Region. In this report, NESCOM assumed that they would be able to develop a program which would achieve a 10% carbon intensity reduction over 10 years, and then proceeded to do an economic analysis of that program to discern that there would be minimal negative impacts, indeed potential positive impacts for the Northeast region. We believe that that analysis is not sufficiently thorough, and we believe that their baseline assumption that you could put a program in place which would get a 10% carbon reduction, carbon intensity reduction over 10 years was flawed. And we also believe that the economic impacts that they associated with that study were overly optimistic. So what we have done is spent the last several months working on a study which we are releasing today, which takes a hard look with all of the fuel constraints that we have in the Northeast Mid-Atlantic region and determine and basically looks at the feasibility of achieving a 10% carbon intensity reduction and also what would the societal costs be of trying to put that type of a program in place. It is important to note that NESCOM has not put out a proposal for 10% carbon intensity reduction over 10 years or any other grouping. What they have done is done a number of different studies and held a number of different stakeholders. So what we are evaluating here is if you took the California model of 10% carbon reduction over 10 years and applied it in the Northeast, then this is what we believe those impacts would be. And we are not responding directly to any proposal that has been put out by NESCOM. And the reason we're doing this is to give the policymakers, both in the state legislatures and in the governor's offices and in the regulators' offices throughout the Northeast states, an understanding of what the impacts would be of trying to go down the road for this type of a program. Now, in order to do this kind of study, we reached out to our good friends at SAIC and asked them to do some modeling runs for us that are based on assumptions that we have put together and on the California model of the program. I'd like to introduce this morning Jay Ratafia-Brown and Rick Irby from SAIC, who are the fine gentlemen who actually ran the modeling for us on this. And Rick and Jay are here to answer any technical questions about the modeling that we have done here. And, guys, thank you very much for joining us.
You're welcome.
And, you know, what we did when we set this program up was to create a new model, which has been labeled the CEA NEMS model. And it's a project-specific version of the National Energy Modeling System, NEMS, which is used by the U.S. EIA for its energy forecasting and policy analysis. And we use this study because it integrates every energy sector in the U.S. economy, including the gas, oil, and power industries, the renewable energy sector, the transportation demand sector, and the residential, commercial, and industrial energy demand sectors. The model is capable of analyzing overall impacts on the U.S. economy of different energy and environmental policies. And we believe that this is the most fully capable modeling program to be able to take into account all of the different impacts that the energy markets have on the system. Now, we ran the model on five different programs, including the model that EIA has used for its annual energy outlook. We also created a new baseline, which includes the cross-state air pollution rule, and we assume that E15 will not be allowed by EPA until at least 2015. We also ran a scenario that looked at the new CAFE rules of 54.5 miles per gallon, which are to be achieved by 2025. And then we looked at a modeling program with an LCFS in place. The results of the study indicate that even under the most aggressive and optimistic scenarios, the goal of achieving a 10% carbon intensity reduction in a 10-year period from 2012 to 2021 cannot be achieved for the region while sustaining the full energy needs of the states in the region. And this is a major fundamental difference between the study that was done by NESCOM, which assumed that you would actually be able to meet the region's energy demands with low-carbon fuels, and neglected to take a look at the reality of alternative and renewable fuel production capacity nationwide as well as in the region, and we actually took those into account. Furthermore, the results project adverse economic impacts for the entire region as a whole and for each of the 11 states. The study found specifically that we would have an overall 10-year economic impact negatively of at least $306 billion in nominal 2009 dollars and a cumulative loss of employment of at least 147,000 jobs, that nominal gasoline prices would go up 112% over 10 years, diesel prices would go up a minimum of 18%, and jet fuel prices would increase by a minimum of 23% by 2022 over 2012. All right. For this scenario, it's important to note that the carbon intensity reduction, the most aggressive carbon intensity reduction that we could see, was a 4.9% from the over the 10-year period, which is only a 4% reduction compared to the baseline change and well below the 10% carbon intensity reduction in the NESCOM overall framework that they're trying to reach. The projected reductions for each state range from 3.5% for Delaware to 5.9% for Pennsylvania. In addition, we also ran the program out to 2035 just to see if there was potential within the out years to actually reach the 10% reduction. And importantly, what we found out was that you cannot. The maximum that we saw there was only a 7.1% weighted average regional production. And one of the key things that we found was both in your baseline through 2022 and your baseline through 2035 is that you have very minor incremental carbon reductions versus the business as usual case when you include the new rules that have been put in place for CAFE, for tailpipe emission standards, for the RFS, and for the CASPER rules. Now, this is very important because when you're talking about a $306 billion hit to the economy, as well as a 147,000 job loss and taking gasoline prices up 112%, that you're only getting very minute, small cuts in carbon production, we think is very important for policymakers within the region and nationally to be aware of. I would like to talk for just a second about some of the specifics in terms of the economic indicators that we are looking at. When we talk about a total of $306 billion, we're talking about, one, a total cumulative loss in economic activity for the region of $128.9 billion. And this is broken down further by a $27 billion hit to real GDP, which is a 0.07% decline, a reduction in disposable personal income of $28.8 billion, which is a decline of 0.1%, and a $73.1 billion reduction in industrial value of shipments, which is a reduction of 0.58%. There also, in addition to those, are expenses that will have to be put in place in order to meet these numbers, even though they don't reach 10% in terms of carbon intensity, which are implied alternative fuel vehicle subsidies of $20.2 billion, incremental fuel infrastructure cost of $0.8 billion, and a total cumulative economic impact of $305.9 billion. Okay. We believe that these study findings raise very serious questions about whether the projected carbon intensity reduction from a LCFS program within the region is worth the substantial societal costs that are projected. Again, it's important to note that the CI reduction from the 54.5 mile per gallon CAFE standard alone is projected to reduce carbon emissions by 6.4% by 2035, which means that there's only a 0.7% differential between this program and the new baseline. If you were to average those out, a $306 billion cost, the loss of 147,000 jobs, and only a 3.8% carbon intensity reduction beyond the reductions that will already be achieved by 2021 under the CAFE scenario and everything else that's in place, equates to a cost of $80 billion and a loss of 38,680 jobs per percentage in carbon intensity reductions. We do not believe that the policymakers in the Northeast Mid-Atlantic are going to go down the road, and we are certainly going to be working with stakeholders throughout the region and members of the legislature and the governor's offices to get this study out there and show that we feel that setting up this type of a program, which will not achieve significant carbon reductions and yet will more than double gasoline prices at a time that we're already facing record highs in the region, is not the right policy path for us to go down. At this time, I'll be turning the call back over to Casey, and we'll be more than happy to take any questions. And I also will note that you can find copies of this study on two different websites. First off, on CEA's main website, consumerenergyalliance.org, but also you can find the study along with several other pieces of information about the study on our dedicated LCFS campaign website, and that is secureourfuels.org, and you see the study will be very prominently posted there, so you can get copies of it.